This is WFYI News Now. It's December 8th, and I'm Darian Benson. Later in the show, more than half of Marion County High School students are earning college credits by the time they graduate.
We want our students to succeed, so if we have to provide transportation, we do. We do pay for the tuition. We do buy the textbooks.
That's coming up. But first, these headlines. Two more Board of Trustees members at Newfields have stepped down. The museum confirmed the departures on its governing board after a meeting this week. Dr. Sean Huddleston, president of Martin University, and Sharon Rogers, the chief financial officer at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, both resigned. Five Board of Trustees members have now resigned since president and CEO Colette Burnett's departure. Burnett left after just 15 months on the job. The public has called for an explanation about her unexpected departure. The Newfields Board of Governors, which advises the museum on programming, has also lost four members in recent days. And Indiana Republican Congressman Jim Banks might have an opponent on the ballot for next year's U.S. Senate primary. Brandon Smith reports a judge ruled in favor of Southern Indiana egg farmer John Rust Thursday in a lawsuit challenging the state's ballot access law.
There are two ways an Indiana candidate can run in a Republican or Democratic primary. They must have voted in that party's primary in the last two primary elections in which they cast a ballot, or they have to get the permission of the county party leader where they live. John Rust doesn't meet those requirements. He voted in the 2016 GOP primary, but cast Democratic ballots before that, and his local party leader refuses to allow him access. Rust sued, and Marion County Judge Patrick Dietrich ruled in his favor. Dietrich writes that while the Supreme Court has acknowledged the right of political parties to decide their own members, the election itself is run and financed by the state, and so the ballot access law must serve the citizens' interests, not just the political parties. And Dietrich writes, there is no compelling or even rational government interest being served here. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith at the State House.
An appeal of the ruling is possible, and even if upheld, Rust must still get signatures from 500 registered voters in each of the state's nine congressional districts to appear on the ballot. Indiana researchers have unveiled a new statewide evictions and foreclosures dashboard believed to be the first of its kind in the country. Thursday marked the launch of the data tool from the Polis Center in New America. The Polis Center collected data from the Indiana court systems and joined it with demographic data from New America to create the dashboard. It shows eviction and foreclosure filings and judgments down to the census tract level, data that wasn't really available to the public before now. Indiana University professor Patricia Basile says the dashboard can help better identify trends and challenges.
I'm really excited that it has eviction filings and eviction judgments because it also allows us to see how different judges are treating tenants very differently and having extremely different results.
Community organizer Mari Luna says the dashboard can also empower advocates.
Our stories and our experiences are supported by the numbers. They're supported by the research.
The Polis Center hopes to add more data and features to the dashboard in the future. And nurses at IU Health's University and Methodist Hospitals say they're planning to unionize. Ben Thorpe reports the Indianapolis healthcare workers cite poor staffing ratios, patient care, and wages as some of the reasons behind their efforts.
According to nurses, roughly 1,000 staff nurses are employed across the two hospitals. Addie Arms is an ICU nurse at University Hospital and part of the unionization effort. She says the hospital system has experienced lower staffing since the pandemic, and there are no signs of it getting better.
I think people are just kind of done with the care that they've had to give the last couple of years, and we really want to make a better change for Indiana.
Arms says nurses are hoping to hold a vote to unionize sometime early next year. She says over 300 nurses are currently interested in unionizing. I'm Ben Thorpe.
A spokesperson for IU Health said that while they respect team members' right to explore joining a union, the company does not feel a union is in the best interest of nurses or patients. And for our final story today, more high schools than ever offer students the chance to earn college credit. At one Indianapolis charter school, that's the entire focus. From our education desk, Sydney Daphne reports on a student completing his high school diploma while getting a head start on earning a college degree.
Rhymes Johnson is a junior at Geo Next Generation High School. He arrives here every weekday morning at around 8:30.
Everybody this morning.
A little bit later, he gets on the bus. Johnson and his classmates are headed a few miles to their local community college.
Today, I'll be going to my design class, and then my next class will be back at GEO High School. I have a 237 to 406 econ class.
The classes Rhymes is taking satisfy his high school graduation requirements while also earning college credit. This semester, he only has one class at the high school. The rest of Rhymes' classes are at Ivy Tech Community College. That's where the bus drops us off. Rhymes is already earning college credits, which helps reduce the cost at a two-year or four-year college.
Every year since freshman year, I've basically had more college classes than high school classes.
Today he has time to spare before his first class, so he shows me around.
And 3:30 should be here.
Rhymes is one of a growing number of students across the country getting college credit while in high school. In Indiana, 62% of high schoolers who graduated in 2020 had some type of college credit. The state is focusing on getting students to complete a block of 30 general education credits that can transfer to all state schools. That's called the Indiana College Corps. Proponents of College Corps say it's working. 90% of students who earned it from the class of 2020 went on to attend college.
We're in the business of dropping all barriers.
That's Kevin Teasley, the founder of GEO Academies. He started this charter school network in 2005 in Gary. The goal was initially to thwart the high dropout rate, but he learned an effective way to do that was to connect students with post-grad opportunities.
We want our students to succeed, so if we have to provide transportation, we do. We do pay for the tuition, we do buy the textbooks, we do provide the academic and social supports, the wraparound. It's a complete approach.
Teasley wants to help low-income and black and brown students earn a college degree. He believes his model does that by getting students to take classes on a college campus.
They walk away with not only a bunch of credits, saving themselves and their family a bunch of money, but they walk away with a lot of experience. That's the key. So if they get an associate degree, fantastic. But what we really want them to get is that life experience.
Teasley's model isn't the only way to earn college credit while in high school. Most students can do it now without leaving their classroom. Some high schools partner with colleges to offer classes, and credits can be earned by the more traditional way of passing an advanced placement test. Michael Hansen with the Brookings Institution says many people are rethinking the purpose of college credit, including how it could be a pathway to enrolling in and completing college.
I think for many students, it does show them that maybe college isn't that challenging after all. Some students just sort of tell a story about their academic ability during school, and they just feel like college is not for me, and so I'm not even going to try.
After class, Rhymes gets back on the bus to go back to GEO Academy. For him, the experience on a college campus has encouraged him to keep going to college. He considered taking time off after high school, but decided against it.
I think I'll just go ahead and stick to it and just take another year at Ivy Tech, at least to try to get my associate's degree.
After Rhymes graduates from GEO, he wants to go to school to be an engineer. For WFYI News, I'm Sydney Dauphiné.
To learn more about dual credit for high school students, go to wfyi.org/news. And that's all for today's episode of WFYI News Now. Our podcast is produced by the following people who live in your community: Aubriana Heron, Drew Dodlin, Kendall Antron, who composed the music for this podcast, and me, Darian Benson. Our news director is Sarah Neil Estes. If you liked today's episode, remember to subscribe and share. And follow WFYI on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube to check in on our newsroom throughout the day. Thanks for listening. We'll be back Monday.